Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Your Highness.
Due to creative efforts of the United Nations Environmental Program, particularly Dr. Peter Prokosh and our member of the board, A.H. Zachary, we were able to begin a communication directly with the Secretary General of the United Nations and invited him to share with us Image's sense of Antarctica, the relation to the United Nations. And the Secretary General was gracious enough to tape a brief video that we will be able to display this morning. After the display, the transcript will be available outside for you to have. This is truly a very interesting video in terms of what the words of the Secretary General mean in terms of the relationship with the Antarctic. As was discussed yesterday, the relationship between the United Nations and the Antarctic Treaty has been longstanding. There have been questions through the decades. In the 1950s, India raised the question of Antarctica. Malaysia raised the question of Antarctica again in the 1980s. And in the 2000 period, the United Nations has agreed the Antarctic Treaty system is truly the governing entity for that region. But it hasn't been a question through the years, and the statement by the Secretary General is noteworthy in its timing and in its import. So, can I ask the projectionist to display the video, please?
Yeah. Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the Antarctic Treaty is a unique example of international cooperation. Its main focus is to ensure that Antarctica is used for peaceful purposes only. As new issues have emerged, the treaty has evolved. Antarctica has been designated as a natural reserve, the world's largest conservation area. It has been the scene of successful international scientific research on challenges such as climate change and the depletion of the ozone layer. International cooperation in and for Antarctica provides an example for all. After half a century, new challenges are emerging. Commercial activities could jeopardize the integrity of the fragile Antarctic ecosystem, in particular on sustainable fishing, adverse impacts of tourism, and biological prospecting. But the greatest threat is climate change. I urge you to do your part to ensure that this month's conference in Copenhagen lays the foundation for a legally binding climate treaty. This is crucial if we are to protect Antarctica's fragile environment and prevent devastating sea level rise. All these challenges will require strengthened cooperation, not just among parties to the Antarctic Treaty and the Antarctic Treaty system, but across the entire international community. I urge all concerned to work in harmony for Antarctica, for science, for the progress of all humankind. In that spirit, I wish you a most successful celebration of this important treaty.
Yesterday we had discussion about a declaration on the 50th anniversary, which is today. So if we can imagine 50 years ago what the world was like, it was today, December 1st, 1959, that 12 nations, 7 claimant nations, 5 non-claimant nations, including the United States and the Soviet Union, including the United States and Japan, a decade after World War II, came together in Washington, D.C. to preserve nearly 10% of the Earth for peaceful purposes only. It is fitting that today we as a group in this room and beyond the walls of the Smithsonian recognize the importance that this treaty has for our generation and for future generations. It was an effort yesterday to craft this declaration. This is not a diplomatic activity, and It was done in the spirit of thinking into the future with inspiration and with hope.